Compassion Plans, Episode 6, Forgiving Bullies.
The world we live in is far from perfect. How can I effectively make a difference? This is Compassion Plans, a weekly interview to help you make the world a better place with your host, Bentley Davis.
Hi, this is Joel and Dr. Pei, husband and wife hosts of Relaunch.
And you are listening to Compassion Plans with Bentley Davis.
Inspiring stories, actionable steps from people who care.
And now, here's another great episode.
It was physical and verbal bullying. And, you know, when something happens to you every day for 2 years, next thing you know, it's like changing who you are. And it's sort of out of your control to do anything about it.
That is Melissa Wilson, a blogger from the aptly named website The Grass Gets Greener. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thanks, Bentley. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I usually like starting off the conversation talking about compassion, which is reducing someone else's pain. So, Melissa, what pain are you reducing?
You just mentioned my site, thegrassgetsgreener.com. I'm trying to use that site to help people who've been bullied as children. They're adults now, and they're still trying to overcome any effects that bullying has had on them. I'm hoping to use my site to inspire them and empower them to overcome these effects and, you know, become the person that they're meant to be.
And what inspired you to start this website?
Well, I like to think that this kind of chose me. Back when I got bullied, which was in junior high, that was actually about almost 20 years ago now, but I still have some effects from that that persist to this day that I still struggle with, but I'm definitely in a much better place than I was. But, you know, I almost feel like I have an obligation to help others who are going through what I've been through because I've been there and I know what it's like. And I like to think that I know some things about how to get out of that. So yeah, I feel like this is something that, you know, once I got bullied, it's kind of like my course in life was almost set for me in a way, if you will. I did have a little bit of a roundabout way of getting here, though, because, like I said, this happened almost 20 years ago now, and I just started blogging this year. I always knew that if I could get myself to a place where I could talk about the fact that I was bullied and sort of how it's impacted me, that I could get to a place where I could help others. But it took me a while to get to that place.
Is there anything you could tell us about the time when that happened to you? Share whatever you feel comfortable about the age you were when it happened and how it made you feel when you were getting bullied.
Yeah, sure. It started when I was 12, when I entered junior high, and it lasted for the 2 years that I was there. And pretty much, you know, it happened every day. And, you know, when something happens to you every day for 2 years, and I know that some people definitely experience it for longer periods of time than that, but it's a long time to have something keep happening to you, and you just sort of, you become conditioned to what's going on, and next thing you know, it's like changing who you are, and it's sort of out of your control to do anything about it. You know, when it was happening, and it was physical and verbal bullying, and, you know, I felt like I couldn't do anything about it. You know, I wanted to speak up and tell the people in the school who were in charge, or even to tell my parents, but, you know, I couldn't tell anybody about it. And I'm not really sure why that was. I think I just, part of me was embarrassed, you know, that I was like letting this happen to me, if you will. And another part of me was definitely afraid that if I said something, that it was only going to make things worse.
Yeah.
So I pretty much just kept it to myself, and that was probably like the worst thing I could have done because it just festered inside me and had nowhere to go.
Yeah, that's very challenging to try and speak up when that is going on.
Yeah, and I felt like, you know, I didn't have the support of the teachers or the principal, you know, and I didn't feel comfortable being able to go to them. So I felt like I was all alone in this school. And mind you, like, I went to this school for junior high, but it was sort of a kindergarten through eighth grade school. So I was coming in as like this outsider because everyone else had been together for that entire time. Mm-hmm. And now here I come in with 2 years left. So I definitely, you know, wasn't like received very well and definitely stood out as a target for them.
So when you went to high school, did the bullying kind of end just because of a change of schools?
It did, yeah. And like I was very conscious of which high school I went to, and I actually made sure to go to a high school that none of the people who bullied me were going to. Mm-hmm. So it was a fresh start for me, but you know, I had these kind of residual effects of what had happened to me that carried with me into high school, and I wasn't bullied in high school, but I mean, I'm kind of surprised that I wasn't, because I was, you know, very shy and very withdrawn still at that point. Mm-hmm. But luckily, you know, I was in a very supportive environment and I was able to start making some friends again. High school went pretty well, thankfully, and I think that allowed me to begin the healing process.
Do you think that you had any symptoms that if people were watching for, they could watch for either in middle school or in high school?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, the biggest thing was that I had just kind of withdrawn into myself and mm-hmm. wasn't really outgoing anymore. I mean, because I would say I was a pretty normal kid up to that point. You know, I had friends that I would hang out with and everything. And then once this started, I mean, I just wanted to be alone and I just didn't want to talk to a lot of people. If someone sees a dramatic shift in their child, someone who goes from just being a normal kid, if you will, to just withdrawing and appearing depressed or anxious when it's time to go to school. I mean, I think it's definitely something to look out for. Of course, part of that could be just the child's age and going through phases. But, you know, I wish that, like, my parents or I mean, my mother in particular, because I was closer to her, mm-hmm. that she would have, like, probed me more and really tried to find out what was going on, because a part of me wanted to tell her,
yeah.
But a part of me just wanted her to be the one to initiate it. So definitely, you know, look out for warning signs and don't be afraid to probe a little bit and see if you can find out what's going on.
So if we do kind of suspect that in our children or a niece or nephew that we know, or mm-hmm. then probably the best thing is just to talk to them and make sure they feel safe.
Yeah. You might not get a reaction that you want. You know, they might just brush you off or try to push you away, but I think it's definitely worth trying to find out if something's wrong. And even if they won't admit it, but you suspect it, just to let them know that you're there for yeah. them and that they can come to you and nothing bad is going to happen if they tell you about it.
When did you finally kind of tell someone about this, or did you just go into psychology to try and understand yourself?
My mother was the first one that I told, and I told her, I think it was like during my freshman year of college. I was definitely trying to like take care of it myself. I don't know. I learned to become like someone who just felt like they needed to take care of themselves, because I really kind of lost faith in people and lost trust in people. And so I didn't feel like anybody could really help me. Like, you know, I just felt very alone. And so I was like, okay, it's me against the world and I've got to take care of this, you know?
Now, if someone was feeling that way, would you kind of give them the advice to kind of push back against that feeling right now?
Yeah, definitely. like I said, I wish that I had talked about it sooner, because I don't think that, you know, you can really begin the healing process until you let someone know what's going on and make it public knowledge to some extent. You know, you don't have to go tell the world, but just confide in somebody. I think just saying those words out loud to someone else is going to have a big effect on you.
Do you think a lot of people around you kind of knew this, or only when you started the blog, or even now, do many people that know you not even kind of realize that that's part of your history?
You know, I would say nowadays, more people know about it, but I still haven't, like, I've never really gone to my family members and said, hey, you know, this is what happened to me. Part of that is just, I don't see my family members a ton outside of my parents. And so there isn't really that need for me to say anything. And, you know, I'm not sure if any of them have come across my website. I mean, I certainly haven't heard from anybody saying that they have. And I know when I was like first thinking about doing the site, I'm like, you know, does this mean I need to like tell everybody I know personally?
Right.
And that held me back a little bit. I wanted to make sure. I did tell some people, like, right before I launched, you know, like some friends, because I wanted them to hear it from me and not find it online.
Right.
Yeah, in my personal life, you know, there's still probably a lot of people who don't know. Although I think that, like, anytime someone has found out about it, they're not really surprised. They're kind of like, oh, now I get it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I think they definitely knew something was up with me back then, and they saw signs of it, but they couldn't quite put their finger on it, and I guess, you know, they didn't want to pry too much.
Yeah, it's not really something you really need to share. I mean, we all kind of have some things like that, and some of us have things that are stronger than others, but it doesn't really come up unless it's important to talk about for any specific reason. Did your husband kind of know about it the whole time, or only when you really thought about doing the book or the website did it come up?
No, I told him right from the beginning.
Like when you were dating?
Yeah, right when I don't remember exactly when, but...
I do kind of wonder about that. I've been married for about 6 years, and there was a few things that my wife was finding out about a year after we'd been married. And
yeah.
It's like, should I mention that when we were dating? Or so that's interesting. So yeah, y'all had talked about your past and that had come up.
Yeah, I told him about it, but because it, you know, it's a big part of who I am, and I felt like, okay, he needs to know about this and to understand like how it's made me who I am today. But, you know, the funny thing is that he'll say to me that he's still kind of learning about that part of my life as we go along. So no matter how much I tell him about what happened, I think it's just, I don't know, it's sort of he comes to understand it little by little over time. As he understands my ways more, then he can understand like why I'm that way, and he just puts more of the pieces together as we go along.
Yeah, it's hard to really walk in your shoes through that situation unless you've experienced it.
I also went through, like, of course I was like depressed from what happened, but I also went through a severe bout of anxiety that I've only the past 5 years have been able to get past that. You know, so he didn't see that part, you know. He's only known me while I've been good, for the most part. So he missed out on all that messy stuff. So I think it's a little bit hard for him to understand that stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, or if I'm like feeling a little down one day or a little extra anxious, he really has to try to understand what I'm going through, because it's not something he's had experience with in the past, so it's something new to him. It's a learning process for him.
Can I ask, and of course tell me if I'm prying too far, how did your anxiety kind of reveal itself, or what were you struggling with there?
Well, I mean, it's kind of funny, and I'm not sure if it's exactly tied in to the bullying.
Sure.
I'm sure it is to some extent, because I feel like to some degree, like everything is kind of tied into it. Not because I'm trying to blame everything on it, but I see things like it just, I can tie it back to that time.
Yeah.
The anxiety started for me actually about, it wasn't until like maybe 5 years after the bullying, because I got sick one day and just like sick to my stomach, and it just came out of the blue, and I didn't know what was wrong. And it, you know, it didn't seem like a normal thing. And so I went to go to the doctor, and they weren't quite sure what it was. And then they sent me to a specialist.
That's
and
scary.
Found out that I was just having some acid reflux. And that turned into me just having this anxiety that persisted for many years, because I became afraid of like going out to eat, for example, or just going out and with my friends, because I felt like I was going to get sick, you know, if I went out with them. And then it became this vicious cycle, because I would get anxious about going out with them, which would make me feel sick, which would make me more anxious.
Right.
And then I got pretty messed up over that. And there were things that I missed out on. I had to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
I had started a job at that point, and I ended up being out of work for 3 weeks right when I first started, because I was just like, I was too anxious to go in, and I would make myself sick.
Right.
That was pretty bad. And then between that and being shy and introverted at that point because of what had happened to me, I definitely missed out on, you know, like that social growth you kind of go through at that age. So, you know, that was kind of unfortunate that it happened, but it did.
When you were battling that anxiety, did you get through that just through what you learned in college, or did you also get some help from a professional?
Eventually, I went into therapy probably about 2 or 3 years after the anxiety had started up. So, even still, I was like trying to deal with it on my own. Yeah. Or just deal with it like medically and not psychologically. But I ended up getting put on medication to eventually calm me down, because sometimes, like, when you're anxious like that, you can't, you know, they say that you have to, like, calm yourself down and you got to get yourself in the right mindset. But sometimes you're so bad off that you need a little medication to get you to that point where you can help yourself.
Sure. Yeah. If you had it consistently for a couple of years, your body may have been acclimated to doing that. And
exactly.
It's extremely difficult to learn how to shut that off without having the assistance of something.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know how to take care of that, that's for sure. Because it's like you don't have control over your body. You know?
Right. Yeah. And that makes you even more anxious when you can no longer.
Yeah.
About how anxious you're being. Yeah. I went through a period of struggling with that. I had a traumatic event in my life. And I'm glad that I was able to seek counseling pretty soon after it. Because I was completely open to that idea. It probably saved me a lot of years of pain and of anxiety. I know a little bit of what that's like, not to go through it for 2 years, but it's definitely challenging. When you don't seem to be in control of your own mind is really one of the scariest things.
Yeah, absolutely. So I felt like I was just between the bullying and then that, like I was just, you know, I had gotten set back a bit in life. And that's why, you know, it's really taken me until now to really be able to talk about what's happened to me and try to do something to help others.
And the counseling helped and you don't need any medical assistance anymore? That's kind of a personal question. I can delete it, but
I still take something, actually. And I do still go see a therapist just to keep myself in check.
Yeah, I know some friends that have tried pretty much everything and they've just decided that it just seems like the best way. There's always some trade-offs when you make a decision. Well, my brother had ADD, and he was able to wean himself off of Ritalin when he was like 18 or 19. So it really depends on the situation. There's pros and cons each way.
Yeah, I've tried to come off a few times, and it hasn't worked out for me, just from like having withdrawal symptoms. And, you know, but I also worry, like, can I be as calm as I am now if I'm not on it?
Yeah.
You know, and I hate to, like, go through all the trouble of coming off of it and then find out I just need to go back on.
Yeah.
So, you know, for now, it is what it is, and it works for me. So I just kind of leave things as they are.
Sure. So maybe we could transition into a little bit about your goal is to help people, but also have a business helping people.
Yeah.
So in the 3 months, have you learned anything?
Over, like, the course of past year or so, like, because I really started thinking about putting the blog together early last year. It was like my intention to have it up and running by the fall, and then that didn't happen, and then I was going to have it up and running in January, and then that didn't happen. So I finally got it going in April. So I guess, you know, the biggest thing was taking too much time to get started.
Yeah, that happens to all of us.
Yeah, it seems to be a common problem for people.
So how much time a week do you think you spend on this?
I have been keeping a schedule and keeping track of my hours a little bit. I've actually been spending about 40 hours.
Oh, so you've made this a full-time job for yourself.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. In that time, I also include doing stuff on social media. So maybe it's not necessarily the most productive. But
no, I think that's all part of it.
Well, it is.
Yeah, and that's really kind of what I wanted to get done asking you is, because that's considered marketing.
Right.
So about what percentage of that time do you think you spend writing and how much doing social media, and then what other, are there any other tasks that take up some time?
I would say probably 25% of the time doing social media, networking stuff, and about 50% of the time writing, and another 25% focusing on where I want to take things next. Right now, I've been focusing on taking a couple of courses this summer on marketing and just trying to get more traffic. And then the other one is I'm working on creating a digital product that's not going to be related to what I'm doing on my site, but just something extra that I can try to make some money with.
Sure.
So that's kind of how I've been spending my time so far this the past month or so.
And is that learning, is that an online course or is that an actual like community college or anything?
No, they're both online.
And you kind of count that in your 40 hours, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, because learning is an important part of it. And I think it's helpful for people that might want to start out something similar. You know, doing a website about something that they're passionate about and that might help other people. It gives them an idea of knowing that a quarter of your time you're going to spend on Facebook and Twitter trying to get the word out. You know, you can write the best blog post, but if you don't tell anybody about it, that it'll be very, very hard for them to find it.
Yeah, and I know that some people think that, you know, maybe that's not the best use of your time or that, you know, see it as a less productive thing, but I think at least when you're starting out, you want to spend more time doing that because, you know, at that point, you're really the only one who's promoting you. So you've got to get out there and spread the word if you want people to find out about what you're doing.
Yeah, and I heard about you through Ellery Wells, and he said he met you at a conference.
Yep, at New Media Expo in January.
He said you kind of came up to him and that was kind of neat. And I thought that was pretty good for someone who's had anxiety a couple of years ago.
I know. I mean, doing this stuff online has definitely pushed my boundaries a little bit. And it's been good for me. You know, it's getting me to get out of my comfort zone and be a little more extroverted because I can definitely be an introvert. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we had like communicated, I think, on Twitter a little bit and I knew who he was. So, yeah, I just went up and introduce myself.
What's something that's kind of been slowing you down or making it difficult for you?
I have to say that my perfectionism gets in my way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm definitely a perfectionist. And I think because of that, it takes me longer to do things than it would otherwise.
Yeah, I know what that's like. Do you have any tools or resources that you could share with us that you've used in building this website or your business or social marketing?
Well, I'm using WordPress for my website and also using Feedly and Buffer for social media stuff.
Cool.
Which has been pretty nice. I'm not using a ton of tools right now. I do try to keep things as simple as possible.
Yeah, sure.
Because I think, you know, like people can just get caught up in using all these things and, you know, that can sort of eat away at your time a little bit too. So I try to only use things that I really need to use.
So the Compassion Plans audience likes helping out the guests on the show because they're interested in making the world a better place. One way they can do that is by helping you. What are two things that we can do to help you?
If people don't mind checking out what I'm doing, that would definitely help me. But also, I don't know. Can I give you something that's like for, like more for my target audience?
Sure, anything.
I think that people should just, you know, if they know anybody who's being bullied, just to be there for them and try to help them out and let them know that they're not alone.
That's beautiful. And if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Best way is just to go to my site at thegrassgetsgreener.com. I have links on there for my social media profiles as well as contact page, which will send an email to my inbox. So pretty much get in touch with me any way that you
want. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for sharing your compassion with us and coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And listeners, thanks for joining us. Get the links and notes for today's show at compassionplans.com/6. Never miss an episode by entering your email into our subscription list while you're there. If you appreciate what we're doing, go to compassionplans.com/appreciate to find out how you can spread compassion, like rating and reviewing this podcast on iTunes. Thank you so much for caring. All right, that's it. Right. How'd you feel about that?
Much better about that one. Do you think it was...